Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kalowski!
Is Bucks Uncensored. Thank you so, so very much for continuing the overwhelming growth of this podcast with each week that passes by. I think we've started something here at JoeBucksFan.com that has struck a positive nerve with a lot of you Bucks fans. And I'm proud to be the epicenter of that. Any Joe Schmo fan can get on a microphone and say, I love my team. They're so good. We got a franchise quarterback. I'm a fan, but I think more importantly than just being Mr. Optimist is I'm Mr. Realist. I think that's why many of you respect my opinion, is that as much of a fan as I am in investing my, when a lot of people don't invest any money, my own money to go to these games and be a season ticket holder, not only my money, but my time, but then to still be able to look at it from a realistic, unbiased point of view, I think that resonates strongly with each of you and why you continue to listen to this podcast. For that, I thank you. Follow me on Twitter at Commish Online, Facebook.com/Commish Online. Podcast is first available at JoeBucksFan.com. And then, of course, you can subscribe. Have it downloaded directly to your mobile device without any buttons or anything. Boom. You subscribe once, and it downloads automatically to your mobile device every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday afternoon. You can still go back and listen to our reactionary podcast to the Falcons-Bucks game. These two will kind of be in correlation with each other. I'm going to try not to repeat what was said on that podcast, and that podcast kind of points you to this podcast, which I'm going to focus on fixing the Buccaneers. While there are some, not many, but some, that feel like the Buccaneers are on the right path, I hate to burst your bubble, but for those with an unbiased, realistic eye, can see that while there are some young players to build around, the rebuilding process of this organization is now deep into the seventh and eighth years. To continue to ask your fan base to be patient is naive. And I'm not saying you have to go out and sign a bunch of free agents. I'm not saying that you have to panic. I'm actually saying the exact opposite. A point that I've alluded to on this podcast for weeks now, but that's to start to strip it down and start a true rebuilding process. I think smart fans like myself and many of you that listen to this podcast would respect that and understand now there is a process and now there's finally a direction. And so how does that process start? So for this podcast, I'm not going to sit here and give you names of free agents that I would go out and sign. I'm not going to give you a list of potential draft picks that I would be targeting. I know that seems simple. Hey, you're talking about fixing the Bucks. Well, who are you going to fix them with? I want to go in real time here. We're in week 8. Nobody's going to be signed. Nobody's going to be traded for. Week 9. The Bucks are 8 games into this. They're halfway through. This season is done in terms of how are you going to help the roster now? You're not going to help the roster now. But at 3-5 on the season, the first thing you have to do, and I'll take you through the process, the first thing you have to do, in my opinion, is self-evaluate. What has occurred in the first 8 games of this season? Kind of a state of the Buccaneers. I think Ira Kaufman did something on this on JoeBucksFan.com. So I'm not ripping him off. I think a lot of people do a state of their team halfway through the season. I'm not going to give you a long, drawn-out state of the team. I'm going to tell you that they're 3-5 on the season. And while 3-5 might not look horribly, a 3-5 Carolina Panther team looks a lot better than this 3-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneer team. The 3-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneer team that won their first game of the season at Atlanta in thrilling fashion. I think all of us were like, whoa, maybe things have made a turn for the better here. Since then, they gave up a ton of points to the Rams. They got clobbered by the Cardinals and Broncos and then Falcons again. And their wins, by the way, should have gotten clobbered by the Raiders if not for 23 penalties in the game. 23. The Raiders thoroughly dominated them on the football field if not for those penalties that gave the Buccaneers offense a bunch of yardage and forced the Raiders to get that many more yards and still beat the Bucs. And still, by the way, missed 2 game-winning field goals. But I digress. Those are the losses. If we're looking at this from an unbiased, realistic point of view, we see that the Buccaneers wins this season. Falcons, great win to start the season. Panthers, Derek Anderson in there. Derek Anderson has beat the Buccaneers in the past. But that was a Panthers team that didn't have Stewart, didn't have Cam Newton. Their defense was in disarray at the time, and their offense had really no identity. They didn't really know what they wanted to do. At the time, it was a division game. We don't know. Now looking back and seeing how well the Panthers are playing now that they've gotten Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart back, you say, was that win against the Panthers all that great? Again, not a fan's point of view, not just, hey, rah, rah, I spend my money. Let me just get naked and run around and just be glad that the Bucks won the game. That's fucking stupid. It's dumb. So next game, San Francisco 49ers. Jacquizz Rodgers, oh my God, diamond in the rough, way to go, Jason Light. Gets 154 yards on the ground against the San Francisco 49ers. Well, I'm sure some of you saw the stat today when Mark Ingram just ran all over the 49ers, that the 49ers defense, I believe it, if they've played 8 games this season, or 9, I'm not 100% sure on that, but they've given up 8 100-yard rushers this season. They're the worst in stopping the run. I mean, they're fucking terrible. Okay, so you beat 2 horrible teams. I mean, the Panthers were playing horrible, horrible football at the time, and the 49ers are just flat-out horrible. And you beat the Falcons week 1. There's some concern here. There's been some concern with injuries, and oh, by the way, the depth on this roster is abysmal. If I'm self-evaluating, I have to look at the depth and say, what were we thinking this offseason? Drafting a kicker in the second round? I know hindsight's 20/20, but boy, man, another weapon for Jameis would be nice. Hey, how about that Michael Thomas for the Saints? Nope, I understand. He fell to the 3rd round. Hindsight again. It's always going to look much better. You didn't know it at the time. But what we did know at the time was that the Bucs roster was not very deep and did have many holes, and they still decided we're taking a kicker. So again, self-evaluating, there have been injuries that have happened this season, injuries to players that get injured every year. We've talked about it on this podcast. Vincent Jackson, Gerald McCoy, Doug Martin, the list goes on and on. Ooh, Doug Martin might come back this week. Oh, until he gets injured again. Gone. So what do you do? Well, the only thing Jason Light was able to do was go out and get undrafted free agents. I mean, we thought he would have learned that lesson last year. He didn't learn that lesson last year, at the end of last year, where Jameis Winston was struggling because he had all of these guys. Well, here's the argument I saw this week. Well, there are good undrafted free agents. I mean, look at DeMar Dotson. Are you fucking kidding me? That's your comeback? Pointing out the Bucs' worst offensive lineman? Oh, man. Status quo, people. They love it. Just ride it out. Status quo. Be happy you have a football team. Oh, really? The next time you pay for a fucking game, come and talk to me about that. But as long as you sit in the air-conditioned press box, you cannot fucking tell me how to think. Period. Period. And having that many undrafted free agents surrounding your quarterback, especially at specialist positions at wide receiver and running back, is a recipe for disaster. You know, I have a bunch of voice memos to play, but there was one. Here it is. Marcel makes a great point. Go ahead, Marcel.
Commish, this is Marcel in Tampa. I want to get your thoughts on if you're in the same boat as I am. Do you get jealous when you watch other teams play football? Because I find myself getting jealous. There's no Bucs football, so I got the red zone looking around. And I'm like, damn, I'm watching the Giants, Sterling Shepard, Beckham, Cruz, Will Ty. You know what I mean? And I look around, I'm looking around the league. I look at Oakland, Cooper, Crabtree, Rivera. Look at Denver, Emmanuel Sanders, and all these guys. And I look at all these teams that have multiple weapons, and I'm like, fuck. Why the fuck don't we have that? They got Mike Evans. They got a bunch of undrafted guys. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. And I know you're going to fucking nail it.
You know it. I'm going to. But I thought that was an excellent point in being jealous, because it's a point that I've also made, and this is kind of many points that I've made over last several podcasts all rolled up into one. But when you draft a quarterback, and you can't repeat this enough, when you draft a quarterback number one overall or early in the first round, or you feel like that quarterback is your franchise quarterback, you have to do everything in your power to make sure that that comes to fruition. He's still going to be a young quarterback with potential until he reaches that potential. So to make sure that he reaches his potential, why not put everything, all the pieces around him to ensure that he reaches that potential? And then if he never does and it turns out to be a failure, a wasted draft pick, wasted time and effort, at least you know you did everything in your power to make sure that he had every opportunity to reach that potential. But when you draft a quarterback number one overall and then surround him with Mike Evans, an injury-plagued Doug Martin for a majority of his career, don't let anyone sway your opinion on this. The guy gets fucking injured every single season. His backups, Charles Sims, he's twinkle toes. Guy can't run between the tackles. How did we not see this in practice or preseason games? I mean, that was their main focus, is if Doug Martin goes down, it's okay because we have Charles Sims. I mean, what? Vincent Jackson, he's 33, 34 years old. He's a big receiver who's breaking down year after year, getting injured more and more often. Nothing behind him? Nothing? Adam Humphreys? Finally cut ties with Kenny Bell? Signed Cecil Shorts off the street? I mean, nothing. No depth whatsoever. Tight end. They had to make the move with Austin Seferian Jenkins. He kind of pushed the envelope on that. We know that. But no threat behind him. Cameron Brate's decent. He's not great. It's just very concerning that you wouldn't want... Again, Derek Carr with the Raiders. Look at what the Raiders have done in surrounding him. They drafted Amari Cooper, and then they signed Michael Crabtree, two young receivers. They built some good depth behind those receivers with Roberts, who stepped in a very nice role as the third receiver. They've got two nice young tight ends in Rivera and Clive Wolford. They've got a young stable of running backs led by Latavius Murray. I mean, they've got a very solid offensive line. They surrounded Derek Carr with what he needed to be successful, and now look at what is happening with Derek Carr. He's having great success this season. He's progressed perfectly throughout the course of his career. Perfectly. The progression of first year to second year to third year, and now to present day. Very impressed with what Derek Carr has done. I think another team that has done a nice job in surrounding their young quarterback with talent is the Tennessee Titans. I mean, John Robinson, who was Jason Light's right-hand man, goes to Tennessee and says, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I want to run the football. I want an identity. We'll get to identity in a moment. But I want an identity, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to trade for DeMarco Murray. We're going to trade back from our draft pick. We're going to then trade up and get our right tackle. So we have our left tackle and our right tackle, and Jack Conklin and Taylor Lewan. We're going to build up that offensive line. We've got DeMarco Murray, and we're going to draft Derrick Henry. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go out in free agency and get Rishard Matthews. We've got Kendall Wright. Feeling good. We've got Delanie Walker at tight end. Look at all the weapons Mariota has around him, including a solid offensive line. And then they luck out and they get this Tajay Sharpe, who they really like and feel he's got some nice development possibilities. They put weapons around their quarterback to help their quarterback be successful. Mariota still turned the ball over on Sunday, and what I saw. But he also made some excellent plays to keep the Titans in the game against the Chargers. But I like the weapons. And that's the comparison here, is young quarterbacks who have weapons around them. Mariota, Derek Carr. You can't say that about Jameis Winston. So, again, self-evaluating. The roster is not very strong. And there's not a lot of optimism in my mind. If I'm sitting in the front office right now in a room with my scouts or whomever is in there, as we talk about the season to this point, you want to be positive, you want to be uplifting in the media and out front, put on a good face, but they watch the film, they know what they're seeing, they can see their roster, and they know they've got a lot of work to do. So with that being said, here's how I would start to fix the Buccaneers. You're not going to hire them now, but I would make the decision that before next offseason, well, first off, I think the main thing that needs to happen is that Brian and Joel Glazer, Ed, as well, they all need to go and look in the mirror and realize that they have thoroughly failed in running the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's just been a complete, colossal failure and disaster since John Gruden was fired. You know, people wanted to run John Gruden out of town, and he would never rebuild the roster. He was trying to get the most out of it because he knew ultimately that they were going to have to purge a lot of those older veterans. So he was trying to get as much out of them as possible. And once upon a time, John Gruden was 9-3 heading to Carolina for a Monday night football game that was on my birthday. I'll never forget it. The Panthers trounced him. The Bucs would lose four straight, go 9-7, miss the playoffs, and fire John Gruden. It was the most optimistic any Buccaneer fan had been in a long, well, that's probably the last time a lot of you have been optimistic about the team when that team that year was 9-3. Since then, it's been failure after failure, mistake after mistake. I think out in the open, in front of the public, and behind the scenes as well. Again, I think the Glazers play a major role in the player aspect of the team. If people want to disagree with me, they can. But I think the Glazers play a role in saying, we're keeping this guy no matter what. And I think the Glazers obviously have played a major role in tearing down the mentality of their organization by firing coaches every 2 years. And it's not about firing coaches every 2 years. I have no problem admitting a mistake. The problem is that they admit a mistake and then make a mistake. Admit a mistake, make a mistake, admit a mistake, make a mistake. We should have known this. This should have been glaringly apparent to us when they fired John Gruden and replaced him with Raheem Morris. Yikes. Right then and there, we should have realized that this ownership is about to take us down a dark and empty place. A place where Bucks fans and this Buccaneer organization had not been in since the early 90s. When you fire a successful coach and replace him with an unproven commodity. Raheem Morris fails. In comes Greg Schiano. After missing out on Chip Kelly. We've seen what Chip Kelly has done in the NFL. But nonetheless, in comes Greg Schiano. Didn't work out. Mistake. Fire him. Correct that mistake with Lovie Smith. 2 years later, you fire him because he was a mistake. And you hire Dirk Cutter. Now, Jason Light played a major role in hiring Dirk Cutter. I, maybe different than some of you, still believe in Dirk Cutter. I can't blame him for what has happened. This isn't his fingerprint on the roster. And I try to put myself in his shoes. If I'm Dirk Cutter and I look at my roster and I look at the fragile mindset that they have, nope. I mean, how would you coach these games? I mean, he said now, and it was the personal foul penalty. We all remember it from Thursday night. And he goes, well, now looking back, I should have accepted that penalty. I wish he would have just stood by it and said, you know what? No, I needed to decline it because I wasn't confident my defense could stop them on 3rd and 20, whatever. Just be honest and say that. It's what we were all thinking. I'm thinking that in the stands going, he's not confident his defense can stop them on 3rd and 22 or whatever it was going to be. And quite frankly, I wasn't either. So first things first, Glazers need to check their egos at the door. That's the only way any of this is going to work, is if the Glazers back away, stop getting involved, and allow somebody else to run their organization. No, it's not Jason Light. I will allow Jason Light to stick around. That is if the team president that I bring in believes that Jason Light is the guy he can work with. No, I don't have any names for you. I don't know who it might be. It's not, in my opinion, going to be a Bill Polian, but somebody with that kind of stature, somebody who's been around, has helped build champions up. They need somebody to come in, look at this roster, and figure out what works and what doesn't work. Somebody who has not been in the locker room, somebody who does not know any of the players, Somebody who can watch film on each individual player and make a difficult decision. That person has to be given free rein to do what he believes is best for the organization to succeed on the field moving forward. That is it. That is it. Again, I don't know who that person is. It could be anyone. It could be a name that many of us know. It could be a name that none of us know. There are plenty of people behind the scenes in the NFL that have success in front offices that not one of us knows about. But maybe that person is the right person to come in and take on that type of role. I don't think it's a Tony Dungy. I know the first thing people think about when they think team president must be Dungy, must be Derek Brooks, must be da-da-da. No, it doesn't have to be. And quite honestly, I don't know if I want it to be somebody with ties to the organization. I want somebody to come in who's got plenty of experience in the NFL that knows exactly what they want to do and the type of team they want to build, and come in and do it. All right, so that's done. So I've made the decision I want to hire somebody. So now over the next 8 weeks, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to get myself a president that's going to come in and revamp the organization. You know, can keep people if they want, can get rid of people if they want. Next thing I'm going to do is throw all the names up on a board, every name of the roster, and I'm going to pick out players that I deem 100% safe. Everyone has a price tag. Listen to me on this. Everyone has a price tag, but most likely the price tag on these players is going to be a little higher than other teams are probably willing to pay for. Off the top of my head, I've alluded to these names. I believe I've got 9 off the top of my head. Again, I don't prepare for these podcasts. I sit down and talk. But before I do that, right after Thursday's game, I'm glad I could squeeze in some voice memos. Right after Thursday's game, Jason chimed in with his safe players on the roster.
What's up, Kamish? Driving home from the game. I don't even know why I expect anything less anymore. You were talking about on the podcast getting rid of the loser mentality. In my mind, there's only about 5-6 people who are completely safe. Jameis, Mike Evans, Marpet, Pamphill, Quan, maybe Hargraves. I don't know. We got exposed again. Our tiny cornerbacks. Watching Grimes opposite Julio Jones was like a child going up against a grown man. We got no speed on offense, no playmakers on defense. We're a long way away from being a playoff team. Thanks, Justin. Love the podcast. Have a good one.
Appreciate it, Jason. Leads right into it. So I was thinking while he was chatting there, 9, maybe 10 players. Let me give you those names. Like right off the bat, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm going to move these players to the safe column. Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Ali Marpet, Kevin Pamphill. I love what I'm getting out of my guard play right now. I know I'm going to miss some guys. I know Hargraves. I know Noah Spence. That's 6. Russell Shepard. I'm keeping him. He's great at special teams. I just love his leadership capabilities, so I'll keep him. I'm going to keep Robert Ayers. I like having Ayers on my roster. I like the leadership he brings. And, you know, I don't think he's tainted yet by what's occurred in that locker room in the past. Quan Alexander, obviously. And last one, maybe a little bit of a surprise, but I'd like to keep Clinton McDonald. I do think that his mentality is something I'd like to keep around. I don't think he's too expensive, and I don't think I'd be able to get anything for him anyway if I put him out on the trade market. And again, I like his leadership. I'd like for him to be healthy. This is now back-to-back years where he's been out for a significant amount of time, but still a guy I want to keep around. So those are 10 guys that are in my right off the top of my head. I don't even have the roster in front of me, but off the top of my head, I'm thinking that's 10 guys that, all right, now I want to start to build around. I want to start to bring in the pieces. If a player is not on that list, and there's some prominent names, and quite frankly, you're not going to get much unless you're willing to part with a little bit of something. So if my goal is to acquire some draft picks, build this thing up the right way with multiple draft picks and being strategic in free agency, which is what I would anticipate any successful organization to do. Not every organization is going to be like the Steelers or the Packers and only draft players and never sign anyone in free agency. There's always the ability. You can sign good players to come in and contribute in free agency. You just got to be diligent in the players that you go after and make sure that you get the proper player and talent, but also the proper mindset as well. So I would then call maybe every single general manager in the NFL and say, here's the deal. We're really looking to, build this thing up. We know it's going to be a process for us. We've been trying to rebuild for 8 years. It hasn't worked. So we're going to hit the restart button. We've got a coach that we believe in Dirk Cutter. But we also believe that, we need some draft picks and we want to build up the roster with some younger players. With that being said, a lot of our players are going to be available. So please consider if you would like to make a deal. And that's that. And I'd float it out soon, setting up for the offseason. So now I've got my safe players. I've got a team president coming in. My general manager is still in place. And I've got to figure out over the last 8 games of this season. Because this is probably the most important aspect of it all. Because now that I've determined that I want to bring in a president, and the president might bring this in themselves, but until that person does come in, and until I start to part with players on the roster as part of a purge, well, let me let Dirk Cutter talk about the identity on this team right now.
Yeah, I think every team finds its own identity sooner or later, and sometimes what you think you're going to be when you start the year, it doesn't work out that way for one reason or another, and I think that might be a fair assessment that maybe we haven't really found what we can consistently hang our hat on. There's different reasons for that, but all that is, that's our job as coach. That's my job is to help us get to that point.
Now there are some that feel like Dirk Cutter was just handed the head coaching position because of the work he did with Jameis Winston and the offense last year. But part of the interview process for a head coach should be, at least one of the questions I would ask is, what type of organization, what type of team do you want? And then if I feel like that idea meshes with my idea as a general manager, now I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that his vision for what he wants his team to be, that I'm going to give him the tools to make that happen. Great example of this is Mike Mularkey and John Robinson in Tennessee. I've alluded to him earlier. I'll do it again. They're not having a ton of success this year, but again, I think the Titans and Bucks are going to be tied to each other because of taking back quarterbacks back to back. But John Robinson went to Tennessee, hired Mike Mularkey. I don't remember the timeline, if he was hired before or not, but Mike Mularkey is the head coach. Quite frankly, John Robinson sits down with them, and they decide, we want to run the football. Okay, they've got a left tackle in Lawan. They draft Jack Conklin, another tackle, and they trade for and draft a running back. So that's two running backs they bring. They want to run the football. And so it was John Robinson's job to make sure that that was going to be part of their offense this season. Dirk Koetter, I mean, in that soundbite, said he, first off, the identity changes through the course of the year. Not for the best teams. I mean, sometimes you have to adjust within the course of a game or even two games. But in the end, your identity is what you live by. It's what you want to be a majority of the time. And I think that Dirk Koetter, over the course of his career, has shown he wants to be able to run the football and have the pass coming off of the run. And when you pass on first down, you're catching teams off guard because they feel you're going to run the football because you've established the run with a strong offensive line and a strong running back. And, of course, when you play action pass, it's going to catch the defense off guard as well. So if that's the case, I can't put all of my faith into a running back in Doug Martin that has been injury-free, again, two seasons throughout the course of his entire career, his rookie season and his contract season. I better make sure that I've got depth behind him and I continue to build up my offensive line. Because if I don't, then we're going to get away from the identity we want to be. And quite frankly, I have no fucking clue what the Bucs' identity on defense is. And there's plenty of criticism to go around there, and I got a lot of that coming in through these voice memos that we got for this podcast. Steven is first up with that.
Hey, what's up, Justin? This is Steven from Newport Richey, Florida. Excellent podcast, Saturday morning. You brought up a lot of key points. For the defense, I know this defense is pretty bad, and you brought up, you know, Lavonte David, and I'm glad you brought up that player because I feel like he doesn't get held accountable to why this defense sucks so bad. I mean, every play I see a Lavonte David, I always see the back of his jersey chasing down a running back or a receiver. He's always out of position. And, you know, Quan Alexander as well, too. They miss a lot of tackles sometimes, and they're always out of position. But I've noticed, though, like, a lot of, you know, disgruntled Buck fans don't complain about linebackers. They love to, you know, bring up Gerald McCoy, and I get it. He's an easy target. Or Grimes, Hargraves, or Bradley McDougal, Chris Conte. But when it comes to the linebacking group, I don't know why, but they seem to be absolved from everything. And I think they definitely need to take more credit to why this defense sucks so bad.
Appreciate it, Steven. And for Quan Alexander, for Lavonte David, he's, 5 years into his NFL career? He should be in the prime of his career. He got a major contract. He's making $10 million a year. That's why I think more criticism should come on Lavonte David right now. Quan Alexander is halfway through his second season, his second defense in two seasons. He is the leader of the defense when it comes to calling the plays and calling audibles and making shifts and doing all that. I mean, he's the vocal leader in the middle of that defense at middle linebacker, and he's still making some plays. I'd like to see him not miss as many tackles, but I think for Quan Alexander, I still have high hopes for him. For Lavonte David, I think he's gotten worse each of his years in his career here with the Buccaneers. I think he's one of the most overrated players on the Bucs roster, maybe the most overrated player on the Bucs roster, and one of the most overrated players in the National Football League. But it brings me to my question. Who are the Buccaneers on defense? What are they? Are they a power defense? Will Golston's playing defensive end. I wouldn't call him finesse, but are they a finesse defense? They have linebackers that are fast. Are they a fast defense? I mean, they've got two small corners on the outside, so you would imagine they're press man. You want to get in the face and, you know, not, nope, no, they're playing soft zone. I mean, I honestly have no idea what defense they are. And again, I go back to Mike Smith, who's coached in the NFL for a long time. And while many of you want to just point at the coach, and quite frankly, I don't, you can be critic. Listen, we're all fans here. If you think it's a coach, think it's a coach. Mike Smith's been a coach for a long, long time. Once upon a time, he did have success as a defensive coordinator. When he was the defensive coordinator of the Jaguars, they had a very physical defense. Very physical defense. It started with two defensive tackles that were two of the most dominant defensive tackles at the time. That was the identity of their defense. I just don't see Mike Smith as a finesse guy who plays back and allows these quarterbacks to shred him unless he knows that we don't have a pass rush and we don't have coverage, period. And if that's the case, then somebody needs to sit down with Mike Smith and say, what do you need? What do you need? And we need to go get it and make this thing work. And again, being strategic with both free agency and the draft. Because on offense, I think you need to sign a receiver and draft a receiver and at least bring in one more running back that can be a feature back and allow Charles Sims to only be a third down back. He should never run the ball between the tackles again. So I think identity, bringing in a president to oversee things, I've said that for probably 3 to 4 years. Nobody, at least the Bucks, don't seem to want to do that. I don't know why. But nonetheless, I think it's time for them to bring in somebody to look at everything that has occurred and everything that's occurring and correct that. I think it's time to pick out the players that are safe and be willing to make some tough decisions. And again, I think it's the most important is what type of team do you want to have? And if you can all agree on what type of team you want to have, it's not just the type of offense or the type of defense. What type of mentalities do you want in the locker room? What type of personalities? What type of player do you want? Bigger players? You want faster players? You want athletic players? You want, I mean, what are you looking for? You want overachievers. You want a bunch of undrafted free agents that work hard, which is what they have now. I think it's doable, it's possible. But again, they've been stuck in this status quo for a while. Other than coach, what major changes have been made? I've said the common denominator on this team has been the roster and ownership. They even changed general managers, and they didn't really make drastic changes to the roster. It's just been status quo for 7, 8, 9 years. You know, you draft some, you lose some, you sign some in free agency, they don't work out, you cut them. But there hasn't been a drastic overhaul. It's just been an extremely slow building process. And for some of the players that have been around for a while, much like Jonathan Banks, who finally got the boot, he maybe gives you cause for concern after what he said after being traded to the Lions.
It's tough to adjust every year. I mean, Tampa's a great place. I respect Coach Cutter over there. And I respect the Glazers. I think they have a fine organization. But every year when you get a new defensive coordinator, new defensive back coach, everybody want to mold and twist you and make you into this player and that player. And you kind of get old. And you kind of lose your fire for the game. And it's frustrating, but
you lose your fire for the game with all the coaching changes and things that have been done by the Glazer family. And so if that's the case for one player, why wouldn't it be the case for many others in that roster or in that locker room? You know, it's been status quo, and people say, and I guess it's not just me, but people like Sean letting me know. Now, let me get one thing straight. I go to one Bucks website, joebucksfan.com. I watch with my eyes. I watch the press conferences. I read the transcripts. That's it. Nobody shapes my opinion. I shape my own opinion. And quite frankly, I believe my opinion is correct because it seems like what I've been saying to do over the last 5 years has been ignored. The status quo has taken shape within the organization, and the status quo has not worked. So what the fuck is there to lose to try it my way or close to my way or close to what a lot of fans would like to see way? Just my opinion. Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Justin. This is Sean from Fort Myers, and I know your next podcast is going to be about pretty much getting the ship back on the right course, but I just want to chime in real quick because there are, and I won't name names, but there are other people that do Bucks podcasts out there. Once again, I won't name names that are pretty much just enablers of the shit that we're getting right now from the organization. They're right out, flat out defending this organization. Defending players that are playing shitty right now, namely Gerald McCoy, and they're part of the problem. So I kind of wanted to get your thoughts about that. There's literally one guy that thinks that pretty much said that the Bucks are on the right course right now. I'm like, really? This shit? We're on the right course? All right, well, that's all I got, Justin. Thanks.
Appreciate it. I have no comment on that. I have no idea who that would be. And everyone's entitled to their opinion, even stupid people. So, I mean, I honestly don't know what to tell you. I don't listen. I've never listened to another Buccaneer podcast. Breaking news. No offense to all the other Bucks podcasts out there, but never listen to another one. Only visit joebucksfan.com. I create my own opinion. I go to joebucksfan.com for the news portion. Their opinions don't affect my opinion at all. We've disagreed in the past. The Joes and I. That's fine. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Hell, it is an election year. We're all going to have different opinions on a lot of things right now. This is my opinion on the Bucks. I think that they've tried this way for an extremely long period of time. It hasn't worked. I think the Glazers are so scared shitless of a PR nightmare if they were to part ways with a guy who's been here for a while. Like I think the Glazers are more caught up in how their team is viewed from a PR standpoint than how they actually do on the field. And I got news for you. If you perform well on the field, it's always going to be a positive PR standpoint. Will in the Midwest wants to chime in. Hello, Will.
So I've been listening to other Bucks media sources out there, and I can, I'm getting this underlying tone that they're attacking other Bucks media sources, is the way I'll put it out there. Basically with this passive aggressive bullshit approach, saying, oh, if you're not going to be optimistic and support this team, then get the fuck out of Tampa and find another team, become a fucking fan of the Patriots. You know, I know there's optimistic and there's pessimistic fans. Trust me, I get irrational as fuck at times. But that's because I've been a fan for over 20 years and I get more passionate the older I get. It's fucking evolution. But there's a gray area in all that, and it's called being realistic. And I feel like that's the type of fucking fan I am. And if anybody's going to tell me otherwise, well, they can go fuck themselves. So anyways, Kamish, I love your podcast, dude. You know this already. Keep being you and fuck everyone else.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Will, in the Midwest. I love the passion that you bring. Steven, I want to talk about Jameis Winston. Hello, Steven.
What's up, Justin? Big fan of the podcast. you were going to give your opinion on how to make the Bucks better.
I did, yes.
Well, I did a little bit of research, and I'm going to give my opinion, and I want to know what you think. I think we need a receiver, and I think we do that in free agency. Got Alshon Jeffrey, Willie Snead, DeSean Jackson, Ted Ginn Jr., Marquise Goodwin, who is a speedster, in which we need. Michael Floyd, I mean, these are quality guys that we could use to give James some weapons. And then I think in free agency, you can go running back. Chris Johnson, LeGarrette Blount, Sean Drun, Eddie Lacy, Christian Michael. I mean, these are quality guys that could serve as a starter or backup. I mean, Doug Martin's always hurt. And instead of signing some guy off the street, we get some quality backup. Now in the draft, I have a scenario, and tell me what you think. If we are high enough, let's say 5, you know, 6, we listen to deals. We listen to if anyone's going to give a first-round draft pick next year so we can stock up some draft picks, because that's what we need. We need something. Even if it's not a first round, just some draft picks. Something that's worth it. Anyways, big fan of the podcast. Keep it up. I'm out.
Yeah, I think there are a few teams. The Browns did a good job of that. Titans did a good job. Titans did a real good job in trading back, getting a bunch of picks, and then still getting up and getting the guy they wanted. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of value in trading back and acquiring more draft picks. I would be lying if I said I had not looked at the free agent list, but I haven't named any names on that free agent list because – quite frankly, 75% of them are either going to re-sign or be tagged as franchise players. And I do think that the list is pretty deep at wide receiver. And I'm not saying that the Bucks even signed that player to come in and be an immediate starter. But it's time to start adding some depth so that if somebody were to get injured, you can still put a professional. Like Rishard Matthews is a great example of a guy who stepped in for Tennessee and can be a veteran player around a young quarterback. And I think Jameis Winston would benefit in a big, big way with veteran presence, a more veteran presence around him, especially now that they've dealt with some injuries on offense. I've said I think they need 2 wide receivers. Just from looking at the roster as of right now, I think they need 2 wide receivers. I think they need at least 1 more running back that can run between the tackles. I mean, those to me, if the hashtag weapons for Winston isn't trending this upcoming offseason, then I don't know what hashtag could trend when it comes to the Buccaneers. Hey, Kevin.
Yo, what's up, Justin? It's Kevin up here in West Virginia, just listening to your podcast, and I have to respond to what Lee said. He is exactly right. Gerald McCoy has been at the center of every shitstorm this defense has had. And you know what made me, you know what I thought about as Lee was talking, leaving his voicemail message? The Capitol collapse last year, and the pictures of Gerald McCoy with a big grin on his face, you know, giving respect to Kirk Cousins after Kirk Cousins just made him look stupid. Kirk fucking Cousins made this man look stupid. He rides blocks, makes his big play in the first or second quarter, and after that he's just tired and he gets his ass kicked. And he's okay with it. He's comfortable with it. Maybe he's who Jameis was talking about at the end of last year.
Jameis.
With the bullshit. With the losing mentality. Even the beginning of that year with his... Even in the beginning of last year when he told Jameis, hey, be a rookie, you know, just settle down. Jameis. Get him the fuck out. He needs to go. Turn him into draft picks. Get him out. He needs to go. Lee's exactly right. He may be the cause of it. Frankly, we're all tired of it. And you're absolutely right. They're representing Tampa, they're representing the city, and they just look like they don't give a shit.
I narrowed it down. I got a lot of those type of voice memos. Okay. Let's get Pat in real quick.
Yo, what's up, Commissions? ATO okay. Pat, got a guest speaker in the house.
What's up, Commish, over here? Having a Cuban from Bocados, of course.
There you go.
Best Cuban in Tampa, you guys represent. So we're sitting here and we're talking about the Bucks, obviously, and the horrible shit we've been showing on the fucking field. And it's uncensored.
It is. Yes.
McCoy needs to go. McDonald needs to go. Mm. Doug, I don't even know what to say about him. We could probably chop his ass. And we need to purge this trash out of the roster. Pat, I think we might as well start looking on the draft day. Who do you think we need to target?
Peppers.
He's talking about Peppers from where, Michigan?
Yup.
Okay, two of them doing their own radio show. Thanks, guys, and thanks for ordering from Bricado's. That just goes to show you, Bricado's Sandwich Shop, you can get a Cuban sandwich delivered to your doorstep anywhere in the nation. Those guys in Atlanta listening to the podcast. All right, final voice memo here. Let's go Aaron on. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Justin, it's Aaron. One thing I would change about this organization is definitely right now the owners. I almost have a bad feeling that they may, you know, fire Dirk, which I think would be the absolute stupidest thing to ever do. I don't think we should get rid of Jason Light. I just think that this was a big blunder for him. And I think next offseason, he will have a chance to redeem himself. Because we need to go into free agency. I'm not saying like we did in 2014, but we need to do a little bit better at, or not, we, Jason Light needs to do a lot better at, like, analyzing and looking into the depth at each position of this team. I definitely think that the Glazers are probably the biggest problem on this team. Ever since Malcolm Glazer, put the responsibilities on his sons, this team has just gone downhill, and it's right now pretty much in the worst possible place that it could ever be. So yeah, that's my two cents. Enjoying the podcast, especially the memos. Keep up the good work.
All right, and that's going to do it. We appreciate everyone that chimed in with their voice memos. A ton of them came in again. Appreciate the response, and appreciate each of you downloading and listening to this podcast each week. We've got the Bears coming up this week. Wednesday will be our next podcast, Wednesday morning at Joe Bucks Fan, and then Wednesday afternoon at iTunes, Podcast Addict, and Podbean. We'll start to dive into this matchup. Any news and notes that pop up at joebucksfan.com, and we'll come up with something to debate. Don't you worry about that. At Commish Online on Twitter, facebook.com/Commish Online. I'm Justin Pulowski, and I just nailed it.